My name is Marco Reale. I work for the Protestant Alliance. My role is to be the administrative secretary, and I've been working for the Protestant Alliance for the last 5 years, nearly six in March, and I travel throughout the United Kingdom representing the Alliance. My colleague is Charles Scott Pearson, General Secretary, and we work together, and we also produce a magazine called The Reformer. I'm involved in some of the articles, he's involved in other articles, and one of my roles also to research on the Roman Catholic controversy. So that's part of my work for the Protestant Alliance. We visit different churches and try to encourage them to maintain the gospel witness and a Protestant biblical witness, not just Protestant, but biblical as well. And I'm not English, that you may have gathered. I come from Sicily, and I've been in this country for nearly 32 years. I was saved when I was 17. I was christened as a Roman Catholic, but I was never brought up as such, in spite of, because my parents were converted when I was 2 years old, and we did face a lot of opposition for the very fact that my mother was the niece of a bishop, Roman Catholic bishop. That was not very, very acceptable that they converted, they became Protestant. And today, God willing, I hope to give you a presentation about John Bunyan. Don't let me down. All right. Yes, eventually decided to do something. Turn the other way. Do it right. No, that's not. Okay. John Bunyan, if you want to turn the lights off, you're welcome to. And I can see, yes. John Bunyan, one of the most famous poets, English poets, Rudyard Kipling, the author of The Jungle Book, wrote the following words concerning John Bunyan. A tinker out of Bedford, a vagrant oft in quad, quad meaning jail, a soldier under Fairfax, a minister of God. John Bunyan was born in Elstow, actually in Bunyan's End, which was a little hamlet between Elstow and Harrowden in Bedfordshire. This is a map of Bedford at the time. Are you able? Do you want me to move? I can move. I can move a little bit like that. You can see. Can you all see? Yeah, fine. This is a map of Bedford. At the time, Elstow would be south of Bedford, and not very much. The main road system is still there, the river, and Bedford was important for the cottage industries, and they had a harbour as well, which was used until 1837. A lot of trade took place because of the river. And Bunyan's parents came from Elstow. This is a sign of the village of Elstow, which is still there. This is the main street in Elstow. John Bunyan's mother, Margaret Bentley, as she was before her marriage, lived in one of these cottages, you can see. And some of these cottages at the time would have been touched, and they would have had mud rather than bricks in between the frames. But this is there are people still live in those cottages. Hells is quite a nice place. And this is the rendering of an artist of Bunyan's End. Bunyan's End is where John Bunyan's father, Thomas, lived. It was a place just outside Elstow. It's a place called as Bunyan's end. The Bunyan family apparently must have been a wealthier family in the past, but they came down in fortune, and because they were, you know, as they were, you know, selling the lands, part of the farms became poorer, and Thomas Bunyan inherited a small holding, which was insufficient to provide for him and his family. So Thomas Bunyan became a brazier. There's a difference between a brazier and a tinker. A brazier was actually a person who made pots and pans new pots and pans. Now today, if we need some kitchen utensil, we go to a supermarket and we buy them. In those days, there were people who made them. And brazier was the one who provided these new items. Whereas the tinker was a person who was trained to fix them. And so people would, of course, newly married couple would purchase pots and pans, would cook on an open fire, and often they would, this utensil would need to be fixed because they would have holes. And a tinker will be the one who was trained to fix holes. The brazier also occupied a very important role in the community. They were regarded as trustworthy people, whereas a tinker was suspected of being always a person who came in the neighborhood to spy and maybe later on to come and rob you. So tinkers were not very very well regarded in those days in England. For John Bunyan case, later on we will see, it was different because his father had been a brazier. Thomas Bunyan would visit some affairs, travel around the county selling his pots and pans, and his children would help in the keeping of the pigs and chickens, and they would help around the house. In spite of all this harsh life and a lot of things to do, John Bunyan was able to receive some education. This is the church in Elstow, where John Bunyan worshipped. This is the font where he was christened, was born in 1628. There's a record here in the Elstow Register of the baptism of John Bunyan's father, 1603, baptism of John Bunyan's mother, the marriage or parents, and the baptism of John Bunyan in 1628. It's interesting, there are different spelling. If you read carefully, Thomas Bunyan, the way it's spelled, Bunyan is spelled different ways. It's interesting. There are four or five different spelling of Bunyan in Elstow, in Old English. So the parents were married the 23rd of May 1627, and both parents were born in 1603. This is field near the church. This is a guild. The guild house used to be, it was the place where traders would gather in the village. And that post, you see, was used for a game of tip-cat. Used to play a game near that. It was also a playing ground and a fair ground, still there. And these are some items from the from inside that building. From they used to gather upstairs to trade and sell and buy things, farmers and different cottage industries. That is a reproduction of a meal table would read the Bible in those days in a cottage family, in a cottage industry where they were involved in the cloth and textiles. But in those days, During the day, John Bunyan was growing up during the days of Charles I. And this is Archbishop Laud. Charles I ruled through his favourites, and Archbishop Laud wanted to impose the Book of Common Prayer on the upon the church in Scotland, Presbyterian Church. And the Scottish resisted that imposition. They organised themselves as Covenanters, and they covenanted together. They would resist by force the imposition of the Book of Common Prayer upon their church, and they preempted Charles by forming an army and marching into England and defeated the armies of Charles I. And Charles asked Parliament to give him more money, to raise more money to pay for another army to attack the Covenanters, but the Puritans did refuse to help Charles because they wanted to be more involved in the government. They wanted to be allowed to vet what his advisors would propose. And so we have the beginning of the English Civil War. I'm not going to talk too much about this English Civil War because this is a lecture about John Bunyan. This is the Elstow Churchyard. Along this path, we are told that there are the graves of John Bunyan's mother and sister. As there was this civil war or this instability in the country, there was a pestilence going through Elstow, and John Bunyan's mother died, and so his sister. Thomas Bunyan was remarried within 6 weeks. Now you may think in terms, why would he marry so quickly? Well, very simple. He had a wife, he had little children, and his children needed to be looked after. He was, after all, a travelling artisan, a travelling merchant. He needed to travel in order to earn a living. And so he married a young lady. We are told from some sources that she was a little bit older than John Bunyan himself, and John Bunyan didn't like being bossed about or by a stepmother who was just a few years older than himself. So he didn't like being in his household, in his family, and he ran away from home and he joined the army. Before there was the civil war was already in around, and he joined the army. This is the master role of the parliamentarian army, and there's a signature somewhere there, and he was just 16 year old, and he was stationed at Newport Pagnell in a garrison, and they were waiting for an attack from the Royalists. But the Royalists, that's his signature, John Bunyan, there. And the Royalists, instead of attacking Newport Pagnell, they besieged Leicester, and the parliamentarian army was moved from Newport Pagnell to Leicester. And this is a parliamentarian soldier. It's interesting if you look at it, at his uniform. He had a large leather waistcoat, a leather jerkin, and inside there was a small pocket. And the pocket was stitched particularly in the uniform to contain the smallest edition of the Geneva Bible. Every soldier was given a copy of the Geneva Bible, which was basically a study Bible, because you think about it, the Geneva Bible are footnotes. So for John Bunyan, it becomes now the possessor of a Bible. For the first time in his life, he owns a copy of the scriptures. And of course, there was another advantage in the parliamentary army. There would be some Puritan preachers who would, act as chaplains, and they would preach the gospel with great power to the troops. John Bunyan reports that during this time, it was his turn to take a position, to mount guard as he was, and a man offered to go in his place. And the man was killed. There was an ambush. The man was killed, and that made him think, what would have happened if he had gone and taken his position in the sentry? What would have happened if he had been wounded or killed? What about his soul? He started thinking about eternal matters. Again, the church in Ulster. This is Charles I. Charles I was defeated by the combination of the Scottish Covenanters and the English Parliamentarian, but then he tried to raise an army from abroad, tried to get Irish and French troops to invade England, and of course that was treason. And he was regarded as a traitor and beheaded. And Oliver Cromwell became the Lord Protector. Oliver Cromwell, when he became the Lord Protector, discharged the army. And John Bunyan, in 1647, left the army, returned to Ulster. And he seems to have reconciled to his stepmother and father. And he began his trade as a tinker. And as he was walking traveling around the county, he met a girl. A girl was praying by the wayside. And the story tells us, the account tells us that he was curious to find out what was wrong with the girl. When he found out that she was praying, he tells us that he took her by the hand. It was love at first sight. They went before the magistrate and they were married. And they were very poor. In fact, she was an orphan. But her father, we are told in Grace Abounding, the biography of John Bunyan, they were so poor that they had to share the cutlery. They couldn't afford candles. But her father had left her two books. Her father was a Puritan, and the book left two books, The Practice of Piety and The Plain Man's Pathway to Heaven. And these two books, they read and reread, and they were very influential. Now, the Bunyan family has got three books, a Bible and two Christian books. It's interesting to notice, because very often we think that you need a lot of books to have a spiritual growth. But one of the things, John Bunyan and his wife, we think the name of the first wife was Mary, because of the daughter was named Mary. They could have sold those books because they were poor, but always declined to do so. This is the Bunyan cottage. Is no longer there. This cottage was destroyed by an American soldier. He drove into it. I've been told by the people who lived there, who are members of Providence Baptist Chapel in Bedford. They were actually born there. And he, in his biography, in Grace Abounding, John Bunyan talks about the few scrapes he had with death in accidents. He drowned nearly twice, and that was something which made him think about his soul. John Bunyan loved, this is the tower, Esther Hubby Tower. John Bunyan loved ringing bells. He would go ring a peal with the bell ringers. But in a nearby village, something happened. The great bell broke free from its moorings, crashed through the bell tower, and killed one of the ringers. And so John Bunyan came to the conclusion that because he was such a sinner, God will do the same to him. God will punish him. God will kill him. And he was afraid of joining the bell ringers. In fact, he stopped joining them. He is now looking into the tower, the bell ringers. At one stage, he stopped even going near the tower because he was convinced that God was so angry towards him because of his sin that God will bring the whole tower down upon him to punish him. So he stopped ringing bells. John Bunyan also loved playing tip cat. As you saw the picture before the game in the green. The green is actually not very far. It's next to the actual church in Alstoe. And on one occasion, as he was playing, and he took the bat, he was his turn to bat, a voice came to his head saying, "John Bunyan, will you have your sins and go to hell, or will you forsake your sins and go to heaven?" And this stopped him. It tells us in his biography that he threw the bat down and ran into a nearby woodland, which, by the way, is still there, and he thought about what he heard in his head. But apparently he returned to his game. He also enjoyed dancing and merrymaking. And of course, interesting enough, although Oliver Cromwell had forbidden games and dancing on Sunday, there was an actual act, this act was very poorly enforced. And so John Bunyan was enjoying dancing on Sunday, but then he came under conviction and he stopped dancing. And then he heard of a young man who was a godly man. He was troubled and he needed help. And he went to see this old man. He told him about his troubles. And this man told him that he had committed the unpardonable sin. John Bunyan writes, "I got very little help from that source." He didn't help him at all. He told him he was a sinner, but he didn't present a savior. He told him it was a terrible sin. He knew that already from the reading of the scriptures, from the reading of Christian books. But he was not presented a solution. He was not given a true gospel presentation. And in fact, between 1648 and 1652, for 4 years, John Bunyan was engaged in self-reformation, but he could not find peace with God. He became religious. He went to Sunday, it was church every Sunday. By the way, he had to go to church every Sunday. You would be fined if you don't attend church in those days. You will lose 3 days' salary. He went to church every Sunday, and in Elstow, the parson, whose name was Hall, he used to spend the week going around the village, finding out what the villagers had been up to, what sin they had committed, who did what, and then on Sunday morning, from the pulpit, he will name and shame them. But he will not preach the gospel. He will not preach about Christ. He would simply castigate his congregation. So John Bunyan had no peace. He was trying to be religious, but it was not helping him. Well, one day, John Bunyan tells us in his Grace Abounding, it's a very interesting book to read, that he was walking back home from Bedford and he heard some ladies talking. They were not gossiping, they were not talking about the weather, they were talking about the things of God. And he sort of distanced himself a little bit and he continued to listen to their conversation. And then when at the end of their conversation, he approached them and inquired which church they attend. And they attended the church of St. John the Baptist in Bedford, where the minister was John Gifford. This is the John Gifford. This is the family. John Gifford was a royalist and had been a deserter. He was converted in a wonderful way, the Baptist in Bedford asked Cromwell for a church building, and the Lord Protector heard there was a church building called St. John the Baptist. The church is still there, still in Bedford, and he said the Baptist should have it because the name was named after John the Baptist. And so John Bunyan, his wife, when John Bunyan told her about the conversation he heard from these ladies and the church, this ladies attended, she urged him to inquire, to find out, and they began attending. They had at the time they had a little girl called Mary, and she was blind. And that's, we assume the name of the mother was Mary as well, because he appeared in those days the daughters would have had the name of their mothers. So they start attending. This is the church of St. John. This is a Victorian painting, but it's still there in Bedford. And they start attending the congregation, attending the meetings, joining the congregation. It's interesting because it was in 1615, as they were attending this church, as they were hearing the gospel clearly preached, John Bunyan is truly converted. And in 1653 was baptized in the River Ouse. The River Ouse is literally behind the church building. So he walked and was baptized. There's an actual spot which remarks the place. Bunyan, as he was attending this church, was given another book by a man in the congregation who was going blind. And he gave him a book by Martin Luther, a commentary on Romans and Galatians. So now John Bunyan owns four books. And apparently, my friends, allow me to say, historians tell us that probably that's all he owned in his whole lifetime. Four books. It's interesting. But he wrote 60 books. So, John Bunyan was a man of prayer. The ministry, he was a man who was grounded in the teaching of the scriptures. The ministry of John Gifford was instrumental. And in 1655, he was made a deacon. And when he became a deacon, his neighbors changed their opinion of him. You see, before his conversion, John Bunyan was known as having a very colorful language, to put it mildly. He was accused of being the corrupter of youth. We are told that he used to play practical pranks on people together with a group of youngsters before his conversion. And he was known to be a troublemaker. They complain about him because of what he was before his conversion. Now they complain about him because he was far too religious in their eyes. John Bunyan made the comment that there was no pleasing some people. And indeed, that was absolutely right. We are not here to please people, we are here to please the Lord. And indeed, the world will always criticize us, whatever we do, once we are born again believers. This is the John Bunyan house in Bedford in 1655. Pastor Gifford died, and he was succeeded by John Burton as the pastor in St. John. In 1656, John Bunyan moved to Bedford, to this house, and he started to preach. And he's had an itinerant ministry around the villages, in farms, in the area. But in 1658, Oliver Cromwell died. His son Richard, who took his place, but he proved to be unable to rule the nation. And so in 1660, Charles II was crowned as King of England, Great Britain, I should say, and returned to this country and began the period called the Restoration, the period of fun. That again is Alstom, and the house in, no, that's the house in Bedford it was then, and this is Charles II. It's interesting to notice, promised that there would be no restriction when he came to the throne. But sure enough, as soon as he became the king, he did not keep his promise. He started to put restrictions. If you remember, he grew up in France, and was very much influenced by Roman Catholics. During this time, John Bunyan's first wife died, and John Bunyan remarried to a lady called Elizabeth. Charles II passed at the Act of Uniformity, what was one of the first measures to limit religious freedom in this country. In fact, he declared that all the religious services had to be according to the Book of Common Prayer. And anyone who held a religious meeting outside the auspices of the Church of England and without the permission, the local rector, was guilty of holding a conventicle. The private prayer and worship was allowed, but there was a limit, no more than 8 people. But John Bunyan continued to preach. In fact, he was, here's John Bunyan preaching under a tree in Steppingly. Well, Steppingly is actually not very far from our office. I passed it every morning, the place when I drive. And he was arrested because, of course, he was preaching without the permission of the bishop. During that time, 2,000 ministers were left the Church of England rather than comply with the demands of Charles II and the imposition of the Book of Common Prayer. John Bunyan was arrested in Steppingly, and he was known as a metal worker. It's interesting because the justice, the local justice of peace, Mr. Wingate, the local squire, knew that John Bunyan was a very skilled metal worker. John Bunyan made this violin out of metal. Now, Joel, the sound is literally horrible. But it proved to be a very skilled metal worker. The violin is in the Bunyan Museum in Bedford. And he also carried this anvil. It's important because it's a portable anvil, and it is used in the Pilgrim Progress as the picture of his big burden at the back. If you read the Pilgrim Progress, it sins. The Justice of Peace told him, John Bunyan, you have a wonderful gift as a metal worker. Stop preaching, go home, and we will say nothing more of this matter. But the problem was that John Bunyan, although he had a successful trade as a metal worker, he had a new wife and a young family, he refused to confine himself to be just a brazier and a tinker. He was a preacher. And so he refused to give his undertaking that he would stop preaching, that he would stop doing what he was called by the Lord. And so he was arrested, and that was kept in the house of Wingates, and he had to appear at the local assizes, which was held at the Urn Chapel in Bedford. And when he was before the court, he was charged without preaching, without a license, and holding a conventicle. He was again asked to promise not to preach, but he did not. And in fact, this is the local assizes, he was sentenced to prison. He spent 12 years in prison. In fact, his magistrate asked him, "Tinker, what it is that thou prated?" And John Bunyan replied, "Sire, I preached that I did smart. I preached what I felt. Salvation through Christ alone." John Bunyan was sentenced to prison. We don't have the county jail anymore, But this is a door from the Canton Jail, from the time, it's kept in the John Bunyan Museum. It's a reminder that people were in prison because of their faith. Bunyan tells us that leaving his wife and family was like tearing flesh from his bones. Often, Mary's blind daughter will come and bring extra rations to him in the prison. In those days, the families were expected to bring food to the prisoners because the only food they had for the prisoners was bread and water. And by the same time, John Bunyan, while he was in prison, he had fellowship with other men who had been in prison for the various reasons. They were believers. So they would often recite scriptures. They committed entire portions of scriptures to memory. They would sing psalms. They would pray. But it is an interesting incident. John Bunyan gained the trust of the jailer, and sometime the jailer would actually let him out of prison to go and visit his family. And one night, as they were going to bed in the house, John Bunyan told his wife, "I need to go back to the jail." The wife asked him to stay, but he felt he needed to go back. And so he went back to the jail. He woke up. The jailer was not very pleased to be woken up at such an unpleasant hour. But within few minutes, then he was put back in his cell. The magistrate turned up for a surprise inspection. He heard rumors that John Bunyan had been seen around in town. So he wanted to be sure that John Bunyan was in prison, in his cell. It would have been a terrible disaster if the magistrate would have found out that John Bunyan was not in his cell. This is the jug Mary would bring him soup. This is a flute he made while he was in prison. John Bunyan here, on market days, the prisoners were chained to the wall of the prison and never allowed to sell what they made in their cell. John Bunyan used to make leather laces, would have been the equivalent of zips in our days. And that he would use this the income from the cell or what he made to support his family. His wife, Elizabeth Bunyan, learned that Lord Chief Justice Hale was visiting the county, and he was a Christian, and tried to persuade him to help her husband. However, the Lord Chief Justice replies he could not help because the law said that John Bunyan was guilty of holding a conventicle. In Bedford is this memorial in the town centre, which is in the place of the county, marking the place of the county jail, and tells us that John Bunyan was in prison for 12 years, from 1660 to 1672, when the Religious Indulgence Act was passed and John Bunyan was released. Upon his release, John Bunyan became the pastor of the church in Bedford, and he became a famous preacher. In fact, John Owen, this is John Bunyan preaching in the open air, this is a painting, a drawing, rendering that. John Owen, who was the chaplain to the king, used to go and listen to John Bunyan preaching. And one day, Charles II, who was not very impressed by the fact that John Owen used to come to Bedford to hear John Bunyan preaching, scolded him, saying, "I hear you have been to hear that tinker prate." And Owen replied, "Sire, if I could preach as the man preaches, I would gladly give up all my learning." They say that to most famous English preachers would be Hugh Latimer, George Whitfield, and John Bunyan. Around Bedfordshire, there have been churches and meeting houses which came into being because of the ministry of John Bunyan. Some of them are still active, some, I'm afraid, are no longer faithful churches today. is that part of the members' minutes, calling John Bunyan to be a minister. And this is the door of today's Bunyan meeting, the church of John Bunyan. It's a Victorian door, so to speak. The artist wanted to imitate something which is in the Cathedral of Pisa, in which they depict some life of saints. But here, you don't have the scenes of saints, you have scenes from the Pilgrim Progress. This is John Bunyan making over his property to his wife, because John Bunyan did not trust the Stuart monarchs, and he believed they would return, a persecution would return. And in fact, both Charles II and James II wanted to move the Church of England back into Roman Catholicism, and fearing that persecution would recommence, John Bunyan made over his property to his wife. Because, you see, if you were arrested in those days, the government could seize all your possessions, and especially if you were accused of holding a conventicle. So in that way, if he didn't own anything, well, the government could not seize anything. Everything was given to his wife. And in fact, he was right, because in 1685, there was some kind of persecution back in England, and with James II, this is Baxter, before Judge Jeffreys, now an old man in his 80s, he was actually whipped because of being a Puritan. And Bunyan was also arrested and kept in the town lockup rather than the county jail, which was over the bridge. It's no longer there. This bridge now doesn't exist anymore. And we don't know exactly how long he spent in that prison. But it was during the second imprisonment, historians debate between 6 months and a year. It was during this imprisonment that John Bunyan wrote The Pilgrim Progress. It was during that time, during his second imprisonment, that John Bunyan wrote The Pilgrim Progress. It must have been very hard for John Bunyan to say goodbye to his family again, his blind daughter, but the Lord had a purpose. In his second imprisonment, while he was in his cell, he wrote the famous line: "As I walked through the wilderness of this world, I lighted on a certain place where as a den was a den, the jail, and I lay me down in that place to sleep, and as I slept I dreamed a dream, and what a dream it was." The Pilgrim Progress is an allegorical and autobiographical work. It's interesting because it talks about the progress of a Christian, how John Bunyan became a Christian, how a man becomes a Christian, the realization of sin, and the only way of salvation is Christ. But some of the localities depicted and the people presented in The Pilgrim Progress are actually from the daily life of John Bunyan. "I drive every morning through the hill of difficulty in Amphill. I go through the valley of despond before reaching the office." They are real places. And John Bunyan would have visited Houghton House. This is in Amphill. House beautiful. And now a ruin. It was left abandoned by the owner when the wife in Victorian times, his young bride, died in that place following a horse accident, and he abandoned completely this building. It was a beautiful place. John Bunyan, actually, well, this is John Bunyan Will, was actually found in his house not very long ago under a brick. And John Bunyan was released in 1688. And it was released again, and in 1688 went to Reading to reconcile a father to his son. They were been quarrelling. And as he travelled to London, it was raining, and he got a chill, and he became seriously ill and died in Holborn, and he was buried at Bunhill Fields here in London. We don't know exactly how many books John Bunyan wrote. We are told that he wrote about 60. There are some books which are attributed to John Bunyan who have no name, because of course in during the persecution you wouldn't put a name to, your name to a book necessarily. But he wrote books on, wrote poems, he wrote catechism, he wrote books for children, books on different topics, Christian topics. Of course we all know the Pilgrim Progress is the most important, but of course there is also the Holy War, Grace Abounding, and Come and Welcome to Christ. He wrote a book on prayer and on the fear of God. There are different works of John Bunyan. But the Pilgrim Progress is one which is most famous because not only is the most well known in English, but also one probably the most translated Christian book after the Bible. This is the tomb of John Bunyan in London, in Bunhill Fields. Lord Shaftesbury, the founder of the Protestant Alliance, had his tomb renovated. However, it's not in a good state today. It's been very much neglected. In fact, a few years ago, a newspaper in England published a letter written by an American tourist who came to visit the tomb of John Bunyan, and he was interested in English literature, and this tourist was shocked that the English people had allowed it to be to get into that state of ruin. Does it not that depict the spiritual state of our nation? The nation has forsaken the gospel that John Bunyan preached. You know, one time, there is interesting, I used to work in a library, and there was an interesting incident where they broke into some people entered an abandoned house. And there were three books in this abandoned cottage in a village. A Bible, Fox Books of Martyrs, and the Pilgrim Progress. And probably historically in England, in every home, you would have had these three books. Now you knock on a door, on any door in England, some people will not know what the Bible is. And I've done door knocking in connection with my church, if I might be allowed to give to insert this comment. And I've spoken to English people, and they don't know what the Bible is. They don't even have a copy of the Bible in the house. You see how things have changed. It used to be a book you had in every home. Now, it's not even in every home anymore. These are different editions of the Pilgrim Progress, and it's been translated into 100 different languages. Robert Moffat, David Livingstone, father-in-law, translated in one of the African languages. There is a version in the language of the Eskimos. There are Chinese version, Japanese version. An interesting story is the Italian version of the Pilgrim Progress. It was published in Rome in 1848. Rome Papal. And apparently, the translator did a very interesting thing. He Italianized the name of John Bunyan, which in Italian would be Giovanni Bonanno. There are hundreds of Giovanni Bonanno in Italy. And the papal authorities never realized, for a long time, I would say, that was a Protestant book. And so the Pilgrim Progress was circulating in papal Rome undetected. And souls were converted. There is a copy in the museum. This is a stained glass depicting John Bunyan writing the Pilgrim Progress in the church, John Bunyan meeting. Sadly, my friends, I should say, the church itself is no longer a faithful Protestant church. It's part of Churches Together, sort of ecumenically involved. Why is the Pilgrim Progress important and timeless? Because he described the journey of an individual when he's saved by grace. is the journey of a Christian. Every Christian makes that kind of journey. He moves away from the city of destruction and he goes towards the celestial city. We were once in the city of destruction, were we not? By the grace of God, we've been called and we are traveling towards the celestial city. And this is very important that we consider that in our own lives, and also that we make it known. It's probably one of the books we should encourage people to read more and more. It's refreshing. It's encouraging. It talks of trials, of temptations, of failures. Christian, the Pilgrim Progress is not a superhero. We have today a culture of superheroes, perfect super beings, humans who fail never fail. No, in the Pilgrim Progress, Christian fails. Christian is restored. Christian face doubts. Christians face weaknesses. But he's still a Christian. He's still saved. It still reaches the celestial city. So I hope that through this talk, I have somehow informed you a little bit more about John Bunyan and his work, encourage you to read The Pilgrim Progress, and to be faithful in your Christian walk. And that is, I think, the end of my talk.